Welcome to the Rap Room Podcast. Y'all know the drill. I'm gonna wait for my people to get in. And it'll be good money. Everybody late today, okay. Boom.
You,
T Street.
What's up?
What's up, Donnie?
Donnie.
I can't hear
barely
you.
Hear you.
Nah, it's real low.
Low.
Not the usual.
Reek.
What up?
What's up, Reek?
What's up, what's up?
Hey, man. What's good with y'all, man? Y'all quiet and dry. Let's get it started, man. How was y'all week?
Man, that eclipse got me messed up.
Everybody hey, getting on here like they had a bad week and shit, man. What's going on?
Yeah, man, the eclipse had me drained. Like, it was too much for me. I couldn't. I'm still trying to recover.
Hey, you know, I looked on, I seen on the internet, it's like we just got some of it, but it was a lady in Texas where it actually got completely dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm
she
saying?
She had a total eclipse.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, our totality was like between 89 and 90.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but yeah, that's what sound like some real shit. That's what's up, dog.
That's
sound like some real shit.
I am a very spiritual person. I do believe in astrology and all of those other things. So okay. I'm very, very familiar with, you know, the astrological events. Yeah.
Danya, I'm so happy. Even though you believe in astrology, you wasn't like that other woman who like went crazy, beat up her husband.
Oh yeah.
Threw her kid out the car. That was crazy.
Somebody put hands on their husband.
She killed her husband. She ended up, accident. I don't think she meant to kill the baby, but she threw the baby out of the car with her 9-year-old, and she ended up crashing into, I guess, like a tree, and she ended up passing away herself.
Yeah, you know what? I do remember that.
What happens is people dibble and dabble in certain things, and then you don't know what you're doing, and then them things come back on you. Yeah. And you know that be the thing. You know what I'm saying? So sure. You gotta be real mindful and real careful about what you putting yourself into or getting yourself into.
No, that's real talk. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the Rec Room Podcast. This is episode 72. The title of this pod is Mike Cower Later. I'm your host. I go by E1. We got Donya in the building.
First
we
lady
got
on the mic.
T-Streets in the building.
Yep.
And we got my man Reek in the building. Trey is not with us. He's still on his family vacation, so hopefully he will return next week.
Nah, we good without him.
Are we good without him? He's going to hit his back. So we're going to start off like we always do with some sports. And what's been big in sports is the NCAA tournament. We had the men's tournament. And UConn won. They beat Purdue 75-60. And then the women's championship, which was, a little more popular than the women's, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. South Carolina defeated Iowa. I thought Iowa was going to win. I didn't want them to win, but I thought they were going to win. And so Caitlin Clark will be up for the draft.
Draft.
She's going to go number one. Even though the draft hasn't happened, the team that's number one is Indiana, and most of the games are going to be televised before the draft because they know they're going to draft her. So that's how it's going. She's about
that or Angel Reese.
Yeah, but Angel Reese not going to like they got her in the mock draft. She's not going to be like a top three pick, at least according to the mock draft. Nah.
That's crazy.
She's going to be like number 9 or something like that.
That's but, good for her, though.
But UConn back to back. Gotta give him credit for the
minute. Oh, no. UConn did go back to back. I forgot all about that. And they was actually showing their coach. He was talking about, before this started, before they went on a run, he was saying how, you know, give us some time and we're going to be here. You know, a lot of coaches and teams say that and it doesn't happen, but he made it come to fruition. They said he coached old school, like, you know, where you can talk to the players. Not, you know how, like, nowadays, if you say something smart to the players, it's like they might get smart with you back or, you know, something like that. But he's allowed, they say, he's allowed to coach them hard pause, you know what I mean? And they understand it. They okay with it. And they respond well to it. And that's a big reason why they win it. And then it says, so this is from ESPN. It says the NBA NCAA men's basketball finals says the ratings are up but fall short of the women's. So it says for the first time, the NCAA women's basketball championship outdrew the men. This never happened. It says UConn 75-60 victory over Purdue in Monday night's men's final on TBS and TNT averaged 14.82 million viewers, according to Nielsen. It says that was not enough to surpass the 18.87 million who watched South Carolina defeat Caitlin Clark and Iowa on Sunday. Now, what do y'all feel about that? Was this, Reek, was this your first time really paying attention to women's NCAA or no? You already paying attention to it?
I was already paying attention because I was a fan of Paige.
Okay.
So from UConn. So I've watched her in UConn go to the finals for the last couple of years. So, but that was pretty much the only team I paid attention to because I was a fan of hers. Mm-hmm.
That was the only team I knew about.
Yeah, I followed for years. I'm a Tennessee Lady Vols fan. So when they were dominant, that was my team. When they was winning a lot, that was my squad. So I squaddled since I was younger.
Mike City in the building. I had to give him a shout as my dog. I just seen him come in there. You know what I'm saying? It was good. My
now,
bad.
Did everybody watch the men's game? Because I didn't see it. I forgot it was on.
Well, I didn't forget it was on. You know, I have a problem, man. And I just realized that my problem is that even if a team is not my team, if there's a particular team that I want to win something in any sport, it's hard for me to watch. Like, I have to turn back and forth. That's so weird. And UConn is not my team. Purdue is not my team. But I wanted UConn to win. So I was looking at some of the games, and I would check the score, turn it off, that type of thing. But, no, I didn't watch it all the way through.
No, okay.
I definitely didn't do that.
Yeah, I definitely
didn't watch that. That was it with sports because – oh, no, that's not – well, that's it with that type of with that. But I do have some sad news. In sports, I have a couple things that sad news. So the first thing is I'm gonna talk about is Vontae Davis, and I didn't realize that you know him and his brother, what's his brother's name? T Streets is Vontae Davis, Vernon Davis. They're from the area, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
And so Vontae Davis passed away at 35 years old. He starred at the University of Illinois before he had actually had a Pro Bowl career, and he's actually the player who like at halftime. Retired like at halftime. So it says before Vontae Davis became a Pro Bowl NFL cornerback, he starred for 3 seasons at the University of Illinois, playing a pivotal role in a dramatic turnaround for Illinois football program in the mid-2000s. Davis was found dead Monday morning in a home in Southwest Ranches, Florida, at a suburb in Fort Lauderdale. It says the cause of death was not immediate known. He was 35. Vontae Davis was a lockdown defender and one of the greatest cornerbacks in Illinois football history, playing a major role during one of the greatest seasons in school history. When Illinois reached the 2008 Rose Bowl, said Dave Wensky, a former reporter and blogger. Said Davis also was a 3-year starter and 3-time Big Ten honoree, earning first-team recognition during his sophomore and junior seasons before entering 2009 draft. He was selected to play, and he was an All-American in 2008. I'm trying to see who he played for in the NFL.
No, he played for. he played for the Colts at one point, but I can't remember who drafted.
So it said, yeah, he was drafted in the first round in 2009, the NFL draft by the Miami Dolphins. Played 3 seasons in Miami and 6 for the Indianapolis Colts, including 2 Pro Bowl years, which is in 2014 and 15. So I don't know if it has come out yet how he passed away, but
they still haven't found out how he passed away so. Yet.
Just rest in peace, man. You never want to hear things like that.
Rest prayers out to his family.
Yep. And then today we have news that O.J. Simpson passed away. And for those who I don't know. You ain't know that, dog?
I did not know that.
Yep. He was battling cancer. And he passed away from that. Mm-hmm. And so with that said, those who don't know, O.J. Simpson was a former NFL star. He was in movies. And there's a lot of this was when we were real kids, the football stuff. Mm-hmm. But what he's most known about with people in that age bracket is going to be the when he was
going in trial.
He was,
if the gloves don't fit, you must acquit.
He was in a murder trial for a double murder, right?
And double murder.
This is really interesting. So he was found not guilty. I can remember it like it was yesterday because it was like one of the first trials on TV. I was in class. And I had a white art teacher. And she had the TV on. And when they announced that he was not guilty, she just made this face like she was just blown. And for real, I guess I can remember that. I can remember it vividly, dog. She was blown. You could see it in her face, and all the kids in class was like cheering and shit, and it was just crazy. And I'm just thinking. So, with that being said, he was found not guilty, but a lot of people believe that he either did it or had it done, and. The thing about it seemed like black people may have thought that also, but they felt it seemed like the consensus was that white people had got away with so much when it comes to black guys getting arrested for no reason, slavery the whole nine. So people was just feeling like if he did it, fuck it, this the one time, and that's what it seemed like people felt.
Because
like kind of like around the area where Rodney King just got his ass beat and things of that nature. So for us as a, as a culture, we kind of like rallied up against him. And then on top of that, it was more or less like, well, you was cheating on the man. So it was like, for us, it was kind of validated, that he probably snapped. But like, I remember being in class as well. You know what I'm saying? And they had shut down all classes. You know what I'm saying? So they read the verdict and we were all outside, on the playground. And then when they read the verdict, of course, naturally everybody cheered, And then when I got of age, I understood, okay, that was something we probably shouldn't have been cheering about, but it was a very pivotal moment in history for black people.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. What'd you feel about it, Reed?
His death or just OJ?
The divide, basically. Like, the divide between the blacks feeling like, hey, it is what it is, and the whites like he should have been locked up type thing.
I feel bad for the families that was involved. I feel for Ron, bad for Ron Goldman's family. I feel bad for Nicole Simpson's family. That's who I feel bad for. As far as the divide, look, like Danya said, it was a couple years before the Rodney King incident happened. All the cops were let off. Throughout history, even till now, cops are getting let off. Who is it? Zimmerman got let off. So to have that moment, right there where, OJ gets off, it was almost like, all right,
it was justified.
It was justified. And it's almost like, it's payback, something like that.
Retribution.
Yeah, retribution.
Mike City. What'd you say, Mike City? How you feel about it?
I said retribution because it's no difference from Emmett Till, Amadou Diallo, and countless other black people that was murdered by another person. I mean, it's no difference. It's just OJ is a celebrity.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, I for one, they wasn't together. She wasn't cheating. They were separated. That mm-hmm. nigga just snapped. And mm-hmm. as most people snap when they're in that state of mind, they do what they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at it.
T-Streets, what's your take on it?
My take is that this is not the time to be insensitive. So what I will say is I'm going to miss him on It Is What It Is.
Oh, yeah.
That was dope. Yeah. I know, bro. It's funny how things happen, how, you know, he's on there toward the end, you know, toward the end of his life or whatever.
Yeah. But, I mean, well, he lived a full enough life anyway.
A full life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
So.
Now, what y'all think about this? This is from Vibe magazine, right? This says, and I'm interested in what, especially with Don, you think.
Oh, Lord.
So it says, Aoki Lee Simmons, 65-year-old boyfriend, said what about Mary J. Blige? So it says, Aoki Lee Simmons took to social media this weekend following the news of the 21-year-old dating a 65-year-old restauranter, Vitro Asoff, going live on Instagram while they were in St. Bart's together. So this is Russell Simmons or
daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's dating or was dating. It looks like they broke up. She's 21. No, she's 21, and she was dating a 65-year-old man, Danya. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, Danya.
I think that is so freaking disgusting, bro.
Hold on. Who are we talking about?
That is disgusting. Like I'm just trying to. But you got to look at it though. Hold on, because I was trying to piece it together myself because I was a little bit lost. Her mom, you know what I'm saying? Kimora was dating Russell. Russell is fairly, like, a lot of years older than her.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I kind of got how that could happen. Now, I ain't putting it past nobody. I've dated an older guy when I was in my 20s. Yes, he was 13 years older than me. That's my daughter's father. Mm. However, anything after that, I can't do. That is nasty. I don't want nobody's old balls. Like, it's not going to work for me. Like, I don't care how much money you got.
Yo, Russell Simmons is 66. Kimora is 48. So that's damn near 18-year. That's an 18-year difference right now. So if you look at it, fruit don't fall far from the tree.
Absolutely.
So if that's what she saw growing up, then that's what she gonna take to.
But that shit nasty.
I got three daughters. I got three daughters.
Yeah.
So, how would you feel about that, Mike, if your daughters was to?
Yo, they're not gonna do it.
Yeah. It's how you parent. Like that. It's how you parent.
Yeah.
That's real talk. But it's crazy because that's like, okay, so you got, you know, they're 21 and then he's 65 and it's like, you that's know, 21 nasty. Means legal. Years. But God damn, how did that happen?
That's nasty.
Okay, so tell me this. Let's reverse it, right? So let's just paint the picture that T-Streets, let's say you 65, right? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And you 65, you know, you 65 mm-hmm. and you're single. And, you know, you're not into nobody that's 21, but a 21-year-old is hot on your trail, man. I mean, would you be, I mean, how do you think you would deal with
that? If I'm 65 and single, I'm pimping.
Okay. So bad. So that's what it is, T-Street.
Yep. I'm tricking. I'm doing all of it. All the stuff I don't stand for today, I'm doing all of it. Yeah,
but you know, it was more based shit. On financial, you know, that was like a financial thing. Okay, he got somebody to look good on his arm and he got to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's kind of like what that was. And as you can see, it didn't last long at all. And I think what happened was there was a lot of backlash because she was on live talking about my boyfriend did this, my boyfriend bought me this, and da 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 this. And then he went on live and said, you know, Mary J. Blige wanted to talk to him. And then after that, the whole relationship just came down. You know what I'm saying? Within a matter of a week.
Listen, I'm gonna flip the script. Oprah is 70. Mm-hmm. If Oprah came at me, y'all better not say shit.
Oh. Hey.
Ain't that right?
You're gonna be well off to do, huh?
What?
Yeah, that was for financial reasons, and that's just nasty. That's nasty. I couldn't even imagine. That's nasty.
So we're gonna keep it on music right now. All right. So I know that y'all have seen that you know, when it comes to Diddy, there's rumors going around that Meek Mill and Diddy been dealing with each other. I don't know how that shit got started, bro. Like, that shit crazy. So it's a lot of rumors about that, and everybody been going on Meek, and they've been showing clips, you know, like where he might just be talking and they'll cut it up and make it seem like he's saying something that's a little suspect. And, you know, 50 Cent took part in it, and, you know, he loved it. So he got all type of posts about this shit. But it says, so this is something to think about. In this Vibe article, it says, Meek Mill says rumors about his sexuality has started to affect his 12-year-old son. It says, Meek Mill has had enough when it comes to recent rumors about his sexuality, which stem from a lawsuit filed against Diddy. It says, the Philly rapper now claims that the perpetuating allegations are causing confusion for his 12-year-old son. He said, I don't believe no Diddy story. Once they lied on me now, he wrote on Monday, April 8th, via Twitter, or X is what it's called now. It says, anybody to try to sexual assault me, it will be a bang out on the spot. How y'all don't know that? Laughing. I don't care, but y'all confusing my son. He's 12 with people saying his dad is gay. It's sick out here. And so he feel a way about that. So do y'all feel like, okay, if you a celebrity, certain things come with being a celebrity, you just got to take it on the chin? Or should he really be feeling a way?
He take it on the chin.
I mean,
first of all, the prime thing that you said in your statement was, Meek Mill said what he said, laughing. First of all, if I had a son, about my sexuality, it's not going to be no laughing involved. Mm-hmm. Ain't no laugh out loud, ain't none of that shit, ain't no laughing emojis involved in none of that shit, because I'm a man first before I'm anything, and these niggas in the industry, they'll do anything for fame to get to the top. Niggas lay on couches all the time.
Oh yeah.
True.
It is out there.
What'd you think, Rick?
And when it's smoke, it's fire.
Hey, you know what? As far as being a celebrity, should he take it on the chin? Nah,
pause. Come on,
but man. that's just something that he has to. That's something that he has to deal with. But I think honestly, Meek Mill makes his own bed.
Like,
he does like a lot of suspect. Mm-hmm. He be doing some silly shit. If he just shut the fuck up, make music like he should, and stop talking and stop beefing with everybody, maybe people would stop keep his name out of their mouth. But Meek is just that. Meek is just, I don't know.
Acting like a broad.
A baby bitch.
Yeah, he acting like a broad.
He is, man. All the Twitter and all that make it seem a little weird. He just came at Wale recently saying that if he knew Wale was this, he would have been stole Wale and all this shit. I'm like, come on, man. What is all this?
So Meek, so the way I look at it,
he's selective.
Meek acting like he been laying up with Diddy.
Yeah.
That's just how it looked to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like this. He's not helping the case. You know what I mean? Like,
he's definitely not.
Now, in some more music news, we got to talk about this. And T Street, he gonna go on this rant in a little bit, right? Yeah. So this is the thing, right? So all right, so Kendrick Lamar, no, I'm sorry. Yes, Drake and J. Cole came out with a song, and they're going on a tour together. The name of the song was what, T Streets?
First person shooter.
And first person shooter, Drake and J. Cole, they didn't say any names, but they was basically saying like they the top dudes in rapping, period.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, not too long after that, Future put out a project that was produced by Metro Boomin. And on one of the songs, Kendrick Lamar took his turn to let them know that they not it, he's it, basically in so many words. And so what happened was J. Cole, so now everybody like, okay, we waiting for responses because the Kendricks, you know, it was like some light work, but it still was letting it be known that I'm going at Drake and J. Cole. Seemed like more Drake, but still J. Cole was included. And so after that, J. Cole put out a diss track And after he put out the diss track, I guess because of what you call it, peer pressure, and he wasn't feeling it, he apologized. And I'm going to play this, and then, yeah.
That shit disrupts my fucking peace. So what I want to say right here tonight is, in the midst of me doing that and in that shit, trying to find a little angle and downplay this nigga's fucking catalog and his greatness, I want to say right now tonight, how many people think Kendrick Lamar is one of the greatest motherfuckers to ever touch a fucking microphone? Dreamville, y'all love Kendrick Lamar, correct? As do I. So I just want to come up here and be like, publicly be like, bruh, that was the lamest, like, goofiest shit. And I say all that to say, it made me feel like 10 years ago when I was moving incorrectly. And I pray that God align me back up on my purpose and on my path. You know what I mean? I pray that my nigga really didn't feel no way. And if he did, my nigga, I got my chin out. Take your best shot. I'm going to take that shit on the chin, boy. Do what you do. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
All good. Like, it's love. And I pray that, you know, I pray that y'all are like, forgive a nigga for like the misstep, and then I can get back to my true path. Cause I ain't gonna lie to y'all, past 2 days felt terrible. Like, it let me know how good I've been sleeping for the past 10 years. So all of that to say,
All this, right? So see, Streets about to let it be known that he tired of the bullshit. T about to go on his rant.
ISO on me.
Let's get it.
Okay, I'm gonna start with love. Because I do applaud him for being able to set aside his pride and ego and listen to his spirit. I applaud him for that. Out of his own mouth, he said he couldn't sleep. He said it was a tough couple days. And his response was because of the peer pressure from friends and everybody in the industry texting him. Okay. But as a rap fan, Lil Jermaine, what the fuck? What the fuck, Roger Bain? You've been saying for the last 3 years that you the best rapper out there, and you was going to continue to prove it throughout a shadow of a doubt. Roger Bain, you a student of hip-hop. I know this because I follow your career. I know this. Nigga, you let me down. You let your forefathers down. Your next album is called The Fall Off. And you did just that. You just jumped out the window. You just committed suicide, career suicide. You let Nas down again. Nasir Jones, he told 50 Cent, don't body yourself. Lil Jermaine bodied himself. Kendrick said, these niggas talking out of their necks. Don't pour no coffin out of your mouth. He literally poured a coffin out of his mouth. Barely pulled a coffin out of his mouth. Dot also said, let's get it up. It's time for him to prove that he's a problem. This nigga jabbed and folded like a blanket.
Ain't no big three, it's big me.
Of course. Listen, when I found out E-Rap and I heard E-Mixtape for the first time, I wanted to get him in the cypher so bad so I could make him rethink his dream. That was my goal, and I never really pursued rap, but I was like, all right, my man can rap. All right, I'm about to get him. I tried to get into the cypher a couple times, but it just never materialized. That's me as a 9-to-5er. Cole, come on, man, what the fuck is wrong with you?
He didn't want to smoke. J. Cole didn't want no smoke with Kendrick. Kendrick ain't looking for the wave. Kendrick is not looking for the wave. He is the wave. You know what I'm saying? So Kendrick, he wasn't on that. All Kendrick's albums is fire, and they've been all low key. So when you look at the history of hip hop, or the look at the history of battle rap and hip hop, LL spoke Kumo D, LL spoke Cannabis, Tupac spoke Biggie, Cube spoke N.W.A. They wasn't cutting the corners. It wasn't subliminal messages. Yeah. It wasn't, I'm going to drop some shit, so you got to try to go and figure what the fuck out what I'm saying. These niggas were saying what they meant. These niggas now, they not saying what they mean. They trying to throw shots that's subliminal, and that shit is just like weird.
Rick, how you feel about it? Do you feel like, so what's your take on it? Do you understand where J. Cole is coming from? Or do you feel like regardless, he should have said what he want? He should have said what he wanted to say.
Look, he said what he had to say in his rap. And he has every right to feel the way that he felt afterwards. Look, depending on where you at in your life, like certain things disrupt your peace. Now, going at your friend or your brother, I mean, despite whether it's, you know, the sport or not, he wasn't feeling it afterwards, and he just felt the way about it. He needed to
say it. So why do it?
Now, no, because it's part of the sport. Now, that's why he did it. Now, you want everybody want to take a look at J. Cole and be like, oh, he a bitch, he this and he that.
But I don't.
I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying everybody's talking about him. But Jay and Nas, they bosom buddies after beefing and talking about I smash your baby mother in your baby's car seat or whatever.
But they battled.
I mean, he didn't go as far as that. He just killed it right where it was.
He shouldn't have stepped out there.
So I think I think that I can understand, right? My thing is I can understand you know, you let peer pressure get to you and you feel like, you know, and I understand it from the standpoint, he probably feel like, okay, Kendrick took a jab, I took a jab, but in order for me to win the battle, I'm gonna have to say some disrespectful shit. And Kendrick gonna have to say some disrespectful shit. And I'm not trying to go there, right? But the only thing is, when you, it's just tough when you rap, when you listen to J. Cole rap and he's rapping like he the shit, which all rappers do, right? That's what you're supposed to do. But when you rap like that, and then when it's time to battle, you don't want to battle, it just make it seem weak. Regardless of how you feel, I get where you're coming from, but it's like, damn, maybe not just, if you was going to do that, why not just don't say shit and just, if he come out with another diss track, just don't respond or something like that. So I don't know. It's weird. It's just the climate that we're in.
Exactly. That's like Biggie not responding to Pop. You know what I'm saying? So he kept it 100. He said, look, I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to respond. It is what it is. Pac came out, spit fire. Biggie didn't respond. That was that. Biggie didn't come back with something and then come back a couple of days later and say, I apologize. You don't apologize. I apologize. I'm sorry. It ain't in my spirit. It's been eating at me.
Nah. Yeah, I would have kept that. I think I'd have kept that myself. But.
Like, it's like you made your money off of, you know what I'm saying, trying to put me out there or trying to come for me, and now I'm taking it back after, you know, like, that's crazy. Like,
fuck you, bitch. No, I don't mean that.
Put it like
he was that's like betrayal, right? Like,
matter of fact, J. Cole was talking about K-Dot's albums, right? This sucked. Your beats was whack. This and that. He didn't feel that in his heart. So
he didn't.
So that joint.
So
like,
I said,
look, that's just
because he said that peer pressure was on him. Yeah. He said his friends and everybody was trying.
Man, fuck all that.
You smoke crack.
We're not going to change the rules of hip hop.
But at the end,
I'm not hearing peer pressure.
Peer pressure, let's go rob this bank. Nah, fuck that. I ain't robbing a bank. There ain't no peer pressure going. Fuck that.
Hip hop.
I feel like you said what you said. You need to stand on what it is that you said.
And if I'm going to come at you, I'm going to come at you and I'm going to keep coming. Like, I ain't going to stop.
Yeah, and I think that's what he got scared of. He knew that. See, it's different. It's battling, but he don't really have no malice in his heart toward Kendrick. Yeah. But now I'm going to have to go personal with you. And then it's going to get ugly. You know what I mean? And he's probably like, man, I ain't even got time. My mental not even there. That's one side. But then the other side is y'all just rapping, just battle. I mean, what's the big deal type shit? This what it is, right? You on the song saying you and Drake the number one. All right, you got somebody saying
he knew Kendrick
I'm number
slaughter
one.
That.
So, well, you know what? I'm going to be real. In my opinion, if they both went toe-to-toe with the gloves off, I don't see Kendrick crushing J. Cole.
You don't think so?
No,
I don't know. Kendrick ain't no slouch, yo.
Yeah.
No, he not, but I don't think he would.
If I was J. Cole, so this is the avenue I would have ran. If I was J. Cole, I would have called Kendrick up on the phone and said, look, let's make some money off this shit. Let's keep going back and forth with each other and let's sell this shit and make some money. And at the end of the day, once we make money, then we can apologize to each other. Not now, before the money is made, because it's all about the money.
Yeah, but the worst part, or the crazy part about the whole thing, Lodger Maine has made Kendrick actually appear like he's the boogeyman. Kendrick's been saying it for years.
No,
and it's like everything's true. He's the boogeyman now. Drake's supposed to be coming.
Yeah,
Drake's
that's coming. What I heard.
Pause. Drake coming. Pause. And it might be tonight. Might be sometime tonight.
That's what they said. So, you know, Drake ain't going to back down. Especially if he now J. Cole put Drake in a position where it would be impossible for him to back down.
Yeah.
And gonna so, like so, two, so if you look like at two it, bitches. You know what
if,
I'm saying?
If you look at it, Kendrick is the boogeyman, J. Cole is the apostle, and Drake is the pop star. So yeah, you spin it how you want to spin it.
Drake got to come at him now. It would be, if he do that, I mean, it's just, he put Drake in a position where Drake got to say, there's no way Drake is not going to respond. There's no way he going to let both of them go out like that. You know what I'm saying? So
if Drake fold, Kendrick's my favorite rapper.
Drake ain't fold.
Drake is not going to
fold.
Drake is not
going to
fold, bro.
Yeah, Drake is not
going to
fold. He's a different person than J. Cole.
And Drake petty.
Drake
going to
come out with a pop hit.
He's going to
come out with another pop hit.
I hope, Don, it's funny you say that. What I'm hoping is whatever this record's come out next, please let them be serious and on a serious beat and not on no playful, fun
yeah,
damn shit,
was
man.
Terrible.
For real, man. I want to hear a real diss on a real beat, man. Not this, these fake disses and this trap beat disses. I want to hear some real shit, man.
Yeah, me too, because I can't with Drake, man.
That's, I mean, that's how I feel.
Nah, you for real, bro. Man. That's real talk.
That's like the Teletubbies beefing with the Powerpuff Girls.
That's how you feel, Mike.
Oh, like, man, we're not going to shit on Drake. We can't do that to Drake.
That's going to be a good battle, you know, if they, you know, that's going to be a good battle, especially if they make the beat serious.
No, because Drake murdered Meek. Drake murdered,
but you know what? I wasn't a fan of that song. That back, that back, that back, that bullshit. Everybody keeps saying, you know, because they played in the club. The first one that he put out against me, I don't know. I like that one. But I didn't like the one.
Like that
one is one line that Drake said that I fuck with.
The girl is club. Is that the girl tour or your... Yeah. Was it World Tour? Or
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Now
that
is that your
that
girl tour?
Yeah,
that whatever he's saying, I fuck with that. But Drake didn't have that same compassion with Pusha T either.
Pusha T crushed him.
Drake bowed out.
Yeah,
he bowed out.
He went and got a gangster to speak for him and told him, "Nah, can't do it."
Motherfuckers take their battles.
Let me ask y'all.
First time for everything.
What you about to say, Reeves? Meaning
what? I was
just
saying, there's a first time for everything in hip hop. And this is the first time I've heard a dude apologize for putting out a diss record.
It was soft. It just showed we in a whole nother generation. Yeah, and I'm not trying to go at J. That Cole too. Like he's just a weak dude or nothing like that. I mean, you do have to take care of your peace of mind. So I understand that wholeheartedly. It's just I think he should have thought about that before he wrote the words.
Song, you made money off of it and then will apologize.
Now, let me ask y'all this,
soft.
Right?
So with a capital T, soft.
Mike City can't take it, huh? You and TC go to the same page.
He like the cowardly lion, the tin man. He needs to go get himself a heart and some courage.
That's what he needs to do. You don't think he got heart?
All right, so tell me this.
My man Simba took shots at him today.
So T Streets, are you to the point where I seen people saying they're gonna throw away his paraphernalia and all that? Do you feel like that, like fuck J. Cole, I'm not listening to his music no more, or it's not that crucial?
I'll listen to his music, but anytime he talk that I'm the best shit, I'm skipping. I'm skipping any of that rhetoric, I'm skipping.
Okay.
Maybe he felt lonely out there on the limb, and he probably felt like anybody had his back on it, so he needed to apologize.
But first off, it's your age in the genre. So the new genre, like, a lot of these new niggas, they don't impress me. My Apple Music, I got Public Enemy, NWA, Eazy-E, fucking UGK. Like, I don't listen to this new shit because I really can't relate to it. Like, that shit,
Let me ask y'all this. Does anybody on here suffer with, like, allergies and does pollen fuck you up or anything like that?
Allergies.
Okay. I got a cousin deal with that shit. Crazy. But so this is from CNN Health. It says it's not just you. Here's why pollen allergies are worse than ever. It says for roughly 1 in 4 American adults, spring blooms mark the start of the itchy, eye-watering, congested misery. And looked at any number of ways, it's only getting worse. Experts agree that more people are becoming allergic to airborne irritants like pollen, mold, allergy symptoms are more severe, and allergy seasons are lasting longer than ever. It says you may also feel the increasing pollen burden, even if you have hay fever, which I don't know nobody who had that shit. It says, as studies show that pollen perturbs the immune system, even if it doesn't inflame your airways. And they said the cause of this is climate change. Scientists say that and intensified seasonal allergies are among the first wave of anticipated health impacts from global warming, along with greater exposure to infections and diseases. So a lot of people are getting more, I guess, sicker during this time. I don't really suffer with allergies like that. I have sinus issues, but I haven't noticed anything different. Then I'm not one of them people where my eyes water and all that type of shit.
Yo, can I say something real quick before everybody else say something? Yeah. Look, I've been smoking weed for a long time, so my eyes is always red, watery, itchy. I got to cough, so I
so you got permanent, y'all, huh?
So you can be suffering from allergies and don't even know.
You don't know the difference, Mike said. It's all the same.
No, I don't.
Now, my kids got it bad, though. Like, when it's a high level, like, their eyes swell up. They bloodshot red. They can't breathe. It's so much that's going on. Like, I'm more like you, E. I got the sinus and stuff like that. Yay. It does bother me somewhat, especially if the pollen is very thick in the air. It will bother me, and I'll get the itchy eyes. But it's not really, really bad to where I'm swelling up. So I'm grateful for that. But that pollen is out there. I went to my truck. I got a black truck. My truck look gray now.
Yeah, it's that time of year. Now, I got a question for y'all. Is anybody on here into Teslas?
No.
Nah.
Not a fan. So, look, I'm going to give my story about a Tesla real quick. So, one of these dudes that work with me, you know, first of all, I'm going to say I'm not one of these dudes that like to drive fast. I've never been like that. So, I'm not into, like, driving fast, sports car. I got phobia because I've been in, like, a lot of car accidents when I was young. Mm-hmm. And so I don't like speed like that, right? So my man at work, he was like, man, yeah, I got a Tesla. And he was real, like, pressed for me to see it. And he just loved it. He into it. So he said, man, show it to you. So I go down and he's showing me the Tesla. I get in and he was like, man, you want to take a ride? And I was like, well, in my mind, I'm like, that really, I'm not really tripping off riding it right like that. I mean, pause. I'm not tripping off riding it, right?
Yeah, say it right.
And so,
stop it.
And so, and so we're in the car garage, and he was telling me that it goes 0 to 60 in this fast time. Now I'm playing it off like, oh, for real, that's what's up. So he said, I'm going to show you. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm not saying, I'm in my mind, like, man, I ain't even into this. You know, driving fast shit. So, dog, I've never in my life. He hit the gas on that jump, and I'm telling you, it felt like we was great take off flying.
You felt and, like you was on the Superman.
Man, I'm telling you, I've never experienced that. It went so fast in such a quick time. It made me think to myself, like, how are these even on the street? Then he said, man, you want? Let me, I'm show you again. And I'm trying to play it off. I'm like, all right. But in my mind, I'm like, get me the fuck out this joint.
So this is my take on electric cars and gasoline cars. It ain't got nothing to do with speed and performance and nothing like that. It's the difference between gasoline, you gotta get alternators, starters, engines, transmissions. You gotta get all that shit worked, oil changes. You gotta get belts, all that shit. On electric cars is battery and motor. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So the maintenance level is totally different. But otherwise than that, I get it. It's like an RC car. It's your takeoff, is your takeoff.
Yeah.
Gasoline, you got so many other hands playing a part in a gasoline car as opposed to an electric car. And the thing about the Tesla and what people don't understand, Elon Musk and Tesla is not an electric car company. They are a web company. They because they write the design for every other electric car out here. Every other electric car out here, they got to go through Tesla's programming to make their shit work. That's why he is that guy that separates himself from everybody else. Because if you come up with an electric car, you got to talk to Elon Musk to get the program to run your shit.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, I brought this up because you all know that, if you don't know, Tesla's had the capability to drive themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if all the models do, but I know some of them do for sure.
Some of them do.
Yeah. And it's different states. So Maryland, so if you want to sum in your car, so like if I'm in the mall and my car is parked in a parking spot, I can summon my car and my car will pull around and pick me up at the front door.
Yeah.
But certain states don't allow that. Like Maryland don't allow that. But another thing about Tesla is you can go to work and you can send your car out there and your car can go run Uber and make money while you at work.
Nah, I ain't never heard no shit like that.
What? I mean, they got them types of Ubers.
If you at work, in certain states, if you at work, you can send your car out there to do ride shares without you in it and make money for you while you at your job. That's the difference between Tesla and everybody else.
Now, I brought up the Tesla thing because, and the self-drive thing, because this article right here is from CNN Business. So when you hear about a car that drives itself, it sounds kind of cool, but this is what I've always envisioned what happened. So it says, Tesla settles with Apple engineer's family who said autopilot caused his fatal crash. I don't know how he can say caused his fatal crash if he's dead. How can he say that? But it says Tesla has settled a high-profile case that was set to put the electric car company and its controversial automated driving system on trial starting Monday. Terms of the settlement were not disclosed. Jury selection was set to begin Monday in a wrongful death suit filed by the family of a former Apple engineer who died after his Tesla Model X crashed while the autopilot feature was engaged. The trial could have lasted several weeks, but the parties settled on Monday. It says Walter Hang was killed when his Tesla struck a concrete highway median in Silicon Valley on March 23rd, 2018. The National Transportation Safety Board, in its investigation, found that the autopilot was engaged for nearly 19 minutes before the fatal crash, when the car traveling at 71 miles per hour veered off the highway. The settlement marks another crucial moment at a company that has lost popularity and a third of its market value this year. It says CEO Elon Musk and the company say that its autopilot full self-driving technologies are ahead of the competition and a big reason why Tesla has become the world's largest electric vehicle maker, just ahead of the Chinese rival BYD. But Hong's family said Tesla oversold its autopilot technology capabilities and that it is not safe to use as advertised. That was my thing about whenever I heard about cars that drive themselves. I always wondered, like, well, yeah. Shit. I've never seen it. I imagine that something like that could happen.
Just like
it's a lot of that with Tesla, though.
Just like human getting accidents. Them self-driving cars from Tesla will.
I'm worried when my kids is driving me.
Hell yeah! Would y'all do that? Would y'all test it out? If you had a Tesla, would you try that feature out?
I would probably try it out over bridges since we can't drive over
them. Shit, that's the one time I ain't gonna do over bridges. That's what you want, right?
I mean, I don't have to drive.
What if you can drive off the bridge? A bridge, don't you?
Look, that's why I said I'd probably try to go over the bridge, but you asked the question. No. I answered it. That'd be the only time I use the autopilot, because I need to be in control. I hate when I'm not in control of something. So I have to be able to control, operating.
If it's going to malfunction, I'd rather malfunction on the street than on the bridge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Crazy to that bridge, man. But now listen to this. This is from, what site is this? Oh, USA Today. All right, so we know that There are always a lot of these mass shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the people who are doing these mass shootings are kids, or not kids, but teenagers. And you'll always hear stuff like the parents should be charged. Fuck that. Mm-hmm. The parents should be charged. Somebody got to be held responsible. Right. So mm-hmm. in this article right here, it says James and Jennifer Crumbly, parents of a Michigan shooter, was sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison. It says Jennifer and James Crumbly, the first parents of the mass school shooter in the U.S. to be convicted of involuntary manslaughter for the attack. Since they were sentenced Tuesday in Michigan court in a Michigan courtroom to 10 to 15 years in prison. It said the sentence came after the court heard statements from the family members of Tate Myrie, 16, and Hannah, who's 14, and Madison, 17, I guess four kids. The students were killed when on, you know, by Crumbly's son. It says that he went on a shooting rampage at Oxford High School in Michigan, November 30th, 2021. Says, you created all of this, Nicole Baldwin's mother said through tears. She was crying because, you know, she felt like the parents are the ones who caused this. If you raised your child the right way, this wouldn't mm-hmm. have happened. Now, my question to you all is, this is the first time in history that this has happened, where the parents have gotten charged. Now, first of all, I want to know, do y'all feel like that's right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel absolutely. Like, yeah.
Because in their case, they bought that motherfucker the gun. They gave him yeah. the right to get yep. the gun. So yes, mm-hmm. that's extremely right. But okay. in the case in Chicago or any other city in America where somebody goes out and get a gun and goes shoots multiple people, that's on them. I don't think that's on the parent.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, you can raise your kids the right way, but they're going to turn out to be who they're going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
That's real talk. Yeah. Now, do y'all think that, Reek, what you think about it? Like, my question to you is, do you think this going to, so someone reading this, do you think that this would deter another kid from doing it? Or do you think this will make parents be like, oh, shit, I need to be on my son just in case. I don't want, you know what I mean? Like, do you think this is going to be a help at the end of the
bro,
day?
Bro, if the hundreds of mass shootings haven't done it before, I don't see why this is going to happen now. But it's good. I mean, half the time, the parents don't even survive it, so they can get charged. They're usually the first ones to get killed before they go to the school and shoot up the school. But in this situation, it's not going to change anything. I'm glad that they did charge the parents because, like my man Mike said, look, they bought him the gun. They knew he probably wasn't fit mentally for yeah. it, but they still did it anyway. So charge him.
But see, and then go back. What's the nigga from Texas that was a drunk driving team that crashed his car and killed all those people, and they let that nigga off scot free?
There's so many.
Did he have like the, what did they say? He had some type of disease.
Asperger's or some shit.
And his mother took him to Mexico or something?
Yeah. So
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You can't differentiate one situation behind another situation. This nigga yeah. didn't serve no jail time. He got out scot-free. And this nigga is going to jail. And his parents are going to jail.
Mm-hmm. So y'all feel, I guess... You know what? It's going to be case by case. You know, they got locked up. What I will say is, I think you're right. In terms of, I don't know if it's going to stop mass shootings or I don't know what it's going to do, but I do feel like parents should be held responsible. But then at the same time, Mike City, you made a good point is you can raise your kid the right way and they can still turn out,
pieces
you know,
shit.
Fucked up, right? Yeah. And so, but either way, this still is a good example to me. Like, okay, regardless of that situation, your kid can do something, and that may make that could make a parent, you know, parent a little different.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it's possible.
Yeah.
Now I got something that's this gonna be a good debate. Men's memories worse than women's, especially yep. with age. I don't believe that shit. We got.
I don't believe that shit either.
It says,
could you a man?
They don't even know where to eat dinner.
Yeah, they got better memories and shit. Come on, man. So CNN says, ladies, science has proven what you've been saying all along. A man's memory is worse than yours. Not only that, but their brains are smaller. Whatever. At least the part that controls memories. It says, that's right. That's what the data says, said Dr. Clifford Jack of the Mayo Clinic. We see worse memory and worse brain volumes in men than women from age 40s onward. It says, in a study of 1,246 people between the ages of 30 and 95, Jack and fellow researchers found that while memory started to decline for both sexes at the age 30, male memory was worse than women overall, especially at the age 40. And in males, the hippocampus, the part of the brain that controls memory, was also smaller than women's, especially at the age 60. Says the men's hippocampus starts off a little bit above average in the young people in the study. And then it says, after review, the study before it was published, it says, but then it falls way below the average in the older man as compared to the older woman. It says, it's no surprise, as your brain shrinks, memory declines. It says, but wait, overall men's brains are bigger than women's, right? It said, it's true. Women's brains are smaller than men's brains. That's what I thought. But brain size scales with your height, Jack said. So if you correct about the head size, which we did, women's hippocampus and memory is better than men's. I didn't know that. I don't know. It says the female advantage. One of the major reasons females trump males in this head game, the protective effects are hormones. Right. So it says estrogen has been shown to shield premenopausal for women, hypertension, bone loss, yada yada. So they saying that, you know, females had the advantage and they have better memories than men overall. And I'm trying to think about that. I don't, you think that's true, Donya?
I do. I honestly do. Because we can remember,
y'all just remember holidays and shit like that. Okay.
What'd you do last week?
What
was the first time you cheated? We can remember the date, the time, what we had on, how our hair was at that specific time.
You know why? Because that shit is emotional.
It's emotional. But at the same time, it's mental as well.
Women think emotional. Men think analytical.
Let me tell you, women think logically. Women think logically. Y'all know how many conversations we had in our head about how we gonna do this. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about it first before we express it.
And then emotions kick in.
So we're more logical. Then we're emotional.
You're emotional.
I was dating this chick, and we go into a spot. And she was saying, yo, why are you looking at all these bitches in here? I said,
because she's thinking, she's logical.
No. I'm not looking at these bitches in here. I'm looking at the exits. I'm looking at the nigga over here in the red sweater. If I got to be worried, I'm looking at my surroundings. Hey, Mike, you sound just like me, bro.
That's just how I am. Yes,
and you
bro.
Try to force on me what your feelings and your emotions are. But that's not what I'm doing.
How do we get those feelings and those emotions? We had to think about that first in order for us to be able to develop those emotions and efforts to express.
That's your childhood trauma.
What wins out? Them emotions wins out, therefore y'all emotional.
Yes.
Y'all supposed to be emotional.
That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be emotional.
Hey, go ahead, Rick.
But men are emotional. I don't understand. Like dudes are always saying.
I feel like men are more emotional than women.
All of them emotional. Everybody's emotional.
Leave Brick alone, man.
All of y'all emotional. Women and men. I don't understand. Like, you gonna sit up there and say just women emotional? Nah, I know a whole bunch of bitch ass men.
I'm not saying just women. Everybody got emotions, but women act off their emotions.
As do men.
Let me retract, because yes, some men act off their emotions too. But when you look into a situation, a man is looking at himself to be the provider, the protector, and all that envelops into that. A woman is looking to be the emotional support for the man, but the man is looking to be the emotional support for the woman, but also to be the protector and to get them out of any situation that they come into.
Well, it doesn't negate the fact that women have a better brain. All of that, what you're talking about, don't negate what the article said, which is
about memory.
You know what I say about them?
Women can remember more and remember better than men. Y'all miss appointments, anniversaries, all of that. You can't remember nothing.
I will give you that. We do. When you really think about it, fellas.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, my wife
becomes. Stop
talking about shit that I did like 9 years ago.
My priority is rent, is mortgage, car note, insurance. That's our priority, not engagements and, you know what I'm saying, anniversaries.
Hey, Donya. Do you have an Ask the Rec Room today?
Yes.
All right, hold on. So this is our segment called Ask the Rec Room. And this is where our followers on Instagram, so follow us at the Rec Room Pod on Instagram, DM us, and they ask us questions that they want us to talk about on the pod.
Ask the Rec Room.
Oh, you trying to end it out? Okay, so this one came in. This one says that if your partner gets their dream job in another state, are you willing to relocate? Do you convince them to change it, turn it down?
If your partner, read that, you know, I'm one.
If your partner, you the slow one.
I need to say it twice. I need to think.
If your partner gets their dream job in another state, are you willing to relocate, or would you try to convince them to change their mind and turn it down? Would you let them go? I'm going.
If it's going to better us, I'm going.
So, mm-hmm. Mike City, so you say you're going, but what if you already have your career established where you already at? Mm-hmm.
So if the move is going to make our relationship or our career status better, of course, I'm going. So if I'm making, if collectively we make it $175,000 here, and we can move somewhere else and make $275,000, I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. No
mm-hmm.
All right. For me, it would be levels to it. To leave, let's just say I'm looking at it like I got a lot of family here. Mm-hmm. To me, sometimes it depends. When you get older, you don't see your family as much as you used to. At least that's the case for me. And so I don't know how much of a factor that'll be, because I think about it. I'm like, shit, I only see my family once or twice a year any damn way. Mm-hmm. For real. But so let's look at that part. Then the second part is depends on where we're moving to. So let's just say the opportunity is in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I want to move to Alaska no matter how much money it is.
So for me, would you encourage her to take it and go and you stay behind, or would you tell her to?
So this is basically, so we're talking boyfriend and girlfriend, basically?
Your partner, your spouse, whoever, you know.
So if you was making $300,000 in Alaska than you make it here, you wouldn't go?
I don't know. I have to find Alaska?
I mean,
it's cold all the time. I mean, how am I enjoying the money?
It's not all the time. It's not all the time. Because you can travel, because you got 300 more grand, you can go where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Six months of darkness.
Six months of light. Yeah, 6 months of darkness. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It really depends. Now, Donnie, your question was, would I hold my partner back? So let's take it from, I'm going to take it from the standpoint of like being in a relationship and not being married, from that standpoint. So if I take it from, it's a person I'm in a relationship with and we're not married, I wouldn't want to hold anybody back from their dreams and aspirations, because I wouldn't want that person to, resent me.
Mm-hmm.
As time moves on, things don't go the way they want. And then they like, you know what? I should have never lived. I don't want to hear that shit. So I would want to a person to follow their heart and their dreams. Now, that's boyfriend, girlfriend. Okay, let's move to me being married. That means we have to make a decision as one. It's a little different. Mm-hmm. So if I'm married, I don't want to move to that state, I probably would ask my wife to see if we can look for a different opportunity opposed to uprooting our life and everything. So that's my answer.
Reek, what about you?
Yeah, me in particular, man, look, I have my roots here. I have my family here, my friends, all of that. So it's hard for me to kind of think about, all right, dang, I got to give up everything and move somewhere else. Because, I mean, everybody has something that's important to them. And that's what's important to me. But, you know, if that's, you know, you if you could find a better opportunity somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, I mean, you just got to look at it.
I mean, for me, I've done it. So I've moved. I'm from Chicago. So mm-hmm. I'm in Maryland. I've lived in a lot of places outside of Chicago and for a lot of different reasons. So if it's a reason that's going to make our... Now, boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, that's different. But if it's somebody that's your lifelong partner or somebody that you're going that you're looking for your mm-hmm. end game with, then that's a totally different situation. So whatever you can do to make your situation better, you have to. So I mean, I don't. I mean that's just. I'll go. I mean, because if I can make it here, I can make it anywhere.
Yeah. I don't think I that would be kind of hard because I'm like E. It all depends on where that person is going, how far out they going. I would never stop them from, you know, chasing their dreams, and I wouldn't expect for anybody to stop me from chasing my dreams. If I was to get a high paying job and, you know, I would want to move or something like that, I would expect for my partner to want to come with me. Yes, mm-hmm. I would. I'm not going to not be selfish at some point and say, nah, you can stay. Nah, I want you to come with me. But I would definitely have to, you know, have that conversation enough to figure out if that's the right move for the both of us. You know, is my relationship worth more than the financial aspect? So I don't know. I'm on the fence with that one.
T Streets, you ain't say what you think.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. It's case by case. It just depends. Mm-hmm. Depends on where you move it to.
No, I got you. Well, y'all know what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why now I'm playing the music and Podbean got an echo, but so what? so who reading the names? Rick, you reading the names?
Oh, snap. Yeah, I read the name.
All right, let's
give
get
me a second. Good. Yeah, give me a second. All right. All right, everybody, we got. Wow, man, Mike. Oh, Mike on the call.
Mike City, what up?
Hey, look, we got Toothless motherfucker's wife join the room.
Hey,
Ms. Leray McCray in the room. Love joined the room. Tata's in the building. That's Interesting Podcast is in the building.
Salute.
Yeah. Already called out Love. Cher Bands in the room. We got James said, Holmes man. In the building. Donnie in the building. She right here. Van Rob is in the building.
What's up, Van Rob? She tuning hey, every Rob. Week. Her and Tata. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Folks, DU Records in the building. Equilibrium LLC is in the building. George is here. Let's see who else. Darius the author is in the building. Thank you, brother.
What up, D?
Tuttles is in the room. What's up, Tuttles?
That's a new listener. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's it.
All right. Well, y'all know this echo on this joint is blowing me. But like I tell y'all every week, you know, we pod on Podbean. We do this every Thursday at 8 p.m. We have pods on YouTube. So follow us on Instagram at The Rec Room Pod. The link is in the bio. We have on-camera episodes, in-person episodes. So if you want to put a face with the name with the face, you can do that. You can get these pods on all the places where you can stream. So that means Spotify, Google Pods, Amazon Pods, all of that. And I don't think we're doing one this Sunday, but we will be back next Thursday. I always tell everybody, tell a friend to tell a friend. If you like what you hear on the pod, just spread the word, send the link. Follow the Instagram, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And the last thing I got is everybody has a part, but everybody isn't us. Till the next time.
Peace.